Speak Up, Speak Out. Progressive voices from around the valley and around the nation, conversing about issues important to our community.
Speak Up. Hi, thanks for tuning in to Speak Up, Speak Out Radio on KSVR 91.7 studios at the Skagit Valley College campus. I'm Jody Buller. There is no end of information out there that quantifies what's wrong in the world, and Western medicine excels at studying pathologies in the body and mind. Today, we're going to look at the harder-to-define, more qualitative part of health, the wellness and happiness quotient, our capacity to thrive, what it takes to improve our abilities to function beautifully in often difficult and dynamic circumstances. There's a free community wellness fair coming up at the Skagit Valley Food Co-op on Saturday, April 24th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and our guests today will be there demonstrating some tips and techniques that they use with their clients to help people improve their wellness quotient. Simi Bobrowski has lived in Skagit Valley for 7 years. She's a visual artist, a musician, a singer and songwriter who sings in nursing homes and churches. She works part-time as an occupational therapist in Cedro Woolley and Anacortes, and she teaches yoga through her practice, Yoga Heart Space, in 3 locations in the valley. Simi, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I was thinking as I was driving in today about all of the different times we are unconscious in our bodies, sort of driving to and fro or at work, tuned into our computers. I'm wondering if you could get our audience grounded a little bit for the rest of this interview by offering a quick tip or suggestion on how to engage with your body and sort of open up, even in your daily living circumstances.
I would suggest bringing your seat upright so that your spine is more aligned. A little exercise that you can do to wake up your body is to arch your spine, which is extending it. And as you're arching it, inhale deeply. And then as you exhale, flex your spine forward so you're slouching.
Ooh,
but
really
keep your eyes on the road. But usually you would turn your head in, but you can keep your eyes on the road while you're doing this. And then inhale again as you extend. And extending your body straight up. And then flex. Just do that 2 or 3 times. That'll wake you up.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about how you found yoga and what your practice is like? It was a little introduction to...
Oh, I don't know if it can be little, but I'll try. I first was introduced to yoga on television. It was on PBS, and it was Yoga with Lilius. This was in the 70s, and I religiously watched her. I think it came on at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning in Seattle, and I practiced yoga. At that time, I was a dancer, and I taught dance, and I taught exercise classes, and yoga was perfect for warming up. I didn't think of yoga as anything past an exercise. So that was my introduction to yoga, and I used it throughout, you know, all my classes that I taught. And I was in and out of yoga. Sometimes I practiced it, and then I'd go for years not practicing it, but I would always come back to it with new teachers. And as I did, I think I was away from yoga for probably about 10 years. And when I moved to Skagit Valley, I began taking yoga again.
And how did you get involved in sort of transitioning to teaching?
I ended up being diagnosed with a pain fatigue syndrome. And I really did not want to let that catch me. I didn't want to be that. So in the physical therapy that I was taking, they gave me a program of stretches. They didn't call it yoga, but I knew that these stretches and exercises were yoga-based. And I found that it helped me tremendously, and it gave me back my center. And so I thought, it's becoming more and more difficult to work, but I know I can teach this, being that having a background as a therapist, having a dance background, and teaching exercise, that this would be the natural transition for me.
Mm-hmm. There are many kinds of yoga, and it sounds like you practiced with a number of different teachers throughout the years. How do you recommend people find the kind of yoga that's right for them?
I recommend, first of all, that they need to find out who the teachers are in their area. And you can go to, I'm going to make some recommendations, activeskagit.com has an extensive list of a lot of the teachers in the Skagit Valley. You can also go to yogaalliance.org or yogajournal.com. Any one of those will give you information about the different kinds of yoga that there are. One thing I'd like you to know is that people think of these as separate different kinds of yoga, and actually what is taught in the West is Hatha yoga, and there are different permutations of Hatha yoga, which is the physical aspect of yoga, because yoga is about the union of the body and the mind and the spirit, and it's more than just exercise to achieve that.
And oftentimes that really is what comes down, what trickles down to us is the exercise part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some of the Hatha yogas that we encounter do make some space for the union aspects and the spiritual components.
Some classes do and
it
some
sort
don't.
Sort of depends, I would imagine, on where you're coming from and what part sounds the most.
And in my booth, I will have descriptions of all the different kinds of yoga styles that are offered so people can.
Fantastic. So that leads me into my next question. I'm curious about how you understand that body-mind connection, body, mind, and spirit, I would say.
I came to an understanding about that. Once again, beginning in the 70s, I took a healing arts class, I think was my first introduction. And I've been following that path. That taught meditation and breathing techniques. There were some kundalini techniques in that class, some yoga techniques, borrowing, herbal remedies. It was just a general overall introduction to healing arts. From there, I discovered that our thoughts manifest in our bodies, that negative thoughts, compulsive thought patterns, can manifest as poor digestion, irritable bowel syndrome, poor blood circulation, can manifest as stiffness, arthritis, muscle pain, fatigue. Rigidity in the body mirrors the rigidity of the mind.
That makes a lot of sense. Very insightful, sort of inwardly drawn way of understanding the body-mind. What are the biggest changes that you notice in your yoga students after they commit to this practice? They've been doing it regularly for a little while.
I'm fairly new at teaching yoga, but there are three students that come to mind. Just recently, one of my students told me a story about how yoga has affected her life, and she said she was painting her living room, and she was on this little three-step ladder standing on the top, and she has a fear of heights. And she also felt she had compromised balance. And she felt like she was going to lose her balance. And then she said she remembered what I taught her in yoga and to go to her center core and to breathe. And she felt like she lost that fear, and she was able to easily paint her living room.
That's valuable insight then, that those fears that come up only in certain circumstances are often hard to work with because you're charged up when it's happening. But if you've got some resources to draw on of how to get back to your body.
One other student, she claimed herself as an advanced student, and she's a friend of mine, and she told me, as soon as I start teaching advanced yoga classes, she'll come to class. And she'd ask me occasionally how my classes are going. And then she said she's experiencing some pain while she's doing her yoga practice. And she just was wondering if she could do a private session with me so she could see if she's doing, something wrong, if she's hurting herself. So we went through the private class. And when we were done, she said, I'm ready to come to your class with a beginner's mind. Yeah. Because it's all about, you know, what you're doing with your body, being in your body, and knowing where it's safe and where it's unsafe. Mm-hmm. And if you do it on your own to a recording, mm-hmm. a DVD, you can't really know or feel, you know, what's right for your body there.
It's very hard to get that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
How does yoga work to promote wellness?
As I understand it, yoga opens your energy channels. The most important thing with yoga is to breathe. Breathe into a state of relaxation. Move with your breath. Mm-hmm. It releases blockages and clears the mind of negative compulsive thought patterns. Yoga will promote wellness in dealing with anxiety, depression, fatigue, high blood pressure, back pain, poor digestion, excessive weight gain. All of these have to do with the body-mind connection.
Mm-hmm. So what else is yoga good for? It sounds like that's a really wide, mm-hmm. wide range. Are there other consequences that you see with folks?
Well, yoga is good just to achieve self-confidence, mm-hmm. poise, joy, happiness.
Yeah, those sound to me like, mm-hmm. like indicators of wellness in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If people want to find out more about your practice and what you do, coming to the Community Wellness Fair is certainly an easy way to do that. Do you have a website? Are there other resources you would recommend?
I do. My website is www.yogaheartspace.com. The other website I'd like to recommend is www.worldconsciousyoga.com. That is the school that I went through. I studied in India to do my yoga teacher training. And the particular style of yoga that I teach from, Akhanda Yoga, is what they are representing.
So that's a good way to understand mm-hmm. what your background in mm-hmm. training anyways was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Simi, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better at the Wellness Fair and out in the community.
Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of the wellness quotient, there's a new book out called The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin. It's a New York Times bestseller about the year she spent test driving theories about how to be happier. Her website, which is www.happiness-project.com, features 5 tips for improving Monday mornings. Some more details about this upcoming wellness fair. Again, that's Saturday, April 24th, 2010, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Skagit Valley Food Co-op in downtown Mount Vernon. Upstairs in the third floor, over 20 wellness practitioners, that's yoginis like Simi, acupuncturists, chiropractors, massage therapists, nutritionists, it goes on and on. They will be on hand to demonstrate their work. And for moms this year, we've got the La Leche League, the Skagit County Birth Circle, Stroller Strides Postpartum Exercise, all will have some great information to help you thrive as a mama. There will be free presentations also upstairs every half hour in room 310, starting at 11 a.m. with hypnotherapist Jenny Davido, is giving an introduction to dreams. And then at 11:30, Carl Minson will be doing some nutrition testing. He's a local nutritionist. At 12 noon, Karen Louise, who is a registered nurse, hypnotherapist, and life coach, will talk about weight wellness and making peace with your weight loss war. At 12:30, Aniko Kiss, who is a local massage therapist, will be doing a presentation on craniosacral therapy. At 1 p.m., Michelle Mailer will be walking us through women's wellness with aromatherapy and letting people make some misters to take home with them. And at 1:30, Angeline Leloux, who is an Alexander Technique therapist, will be doing an introduction to Alexander Technique called Beyond Sit Up Straight. Thanks for joining us. This is Speak Up, Speak Out Radio on KSVR 91.7, coming to you from the Skagit Valley College campus. I'm Jody Buller, and we are joined in the studio also today by Ira Fine, who will be at the Wellness Fair with us also on Saturday, April 24th. Ira is a cantor, a singer, and songwriter who leads Shalom Circle, which is a local Jewish-based interfaith congregation.
His most recent recording, Come Beloved, is a collaboration with his musician-artist partner, Sime Bobrowski. He recently appeared with the Skagit Opera Chorus in A Night at the Opera and regularly sings in area churches. He also works as a sound healing specialist, facilitating groups for those with dementia using resonant silence technique, RST, which is a modality he developed using sound to highlight periods of meditative silence. We're going to learn more about that from him in a little bit. In his work, and just for fun, he plays a variety of musical instruments, including the guitar, the penny whistle, the bowed psaltery, Native American flute, Tibetan tingshas, which are chimes, and singing bowls. Ira, thank you so much for joining us today. And you're joining us with many of these instruments I've just mentioned, and I thought it would be lovely to start off with hearing a little of what you're working with sound, and then also we're going to follow this, surprisingly for radio, with a little bit of silence at the end so that we're able to really integrate what we've heard. So you're going to play some of the Native American flute and the bowed psaltery for us?
And we're going to begin with the tingsha, which is a Tibetan sound healing instrument.
Are beautiful. Thank you, Ira. Can you tell me a little bit about this, the last sounds that you were making on the bowed psaltery? Where does this instrument come from?
Oh, it's an interesting story with this instrument. I wasn't playing guitar for a while, so my partner Simi said, well, why don't you play another instrument? So I said, okay. A little trepidation. So on the internet, we found something like this, and I called a friend up, and he had one, and I borrowed it, and this is actually the instrument made in Ridgecrest, North Carolina. These instruments were made originally in Germany in the 1800s, and the one I have happens to be very resonant, very beautifully balanced instrument, as you could tell from the oscillation from the sound. It tends to take the folks I work with into a space of no thought, which is really the essence of my work. Our minds are always moving and churning out thoughts, and it keeps us in a certain space, a certain place. If we can get beyond the mind, beyond thought, we can open to a place of perfection and regeneration, rejuvenation, or reintegration in the case of the people I work with dementia. And with other conditions I work with. So this instrument is a very dear instrument in my work. And
and what about the native flute? How did that come to you?
This I happened to be in an instrument store in Edmonds 15 years ago, and I saw this instrument. And most instruments kind of call to you. That's my sense. I mean, most musicians will say that. So this call to me from a shelf, you know, and so I took it down, and it was a lot of money at the time. It was $65. So I was like, oh, my God, $65. But I got it. And then many years later, I kind of learned how to play it, and she's been a great friend over the years.
Just a beautiful, beautiful piece, very golden wood.
It's Alaskan blonde cedar. It's a wonderful instrument. Thank you.
It's lovely. And is that a duck head on the top?
It's an eagle head.
Eagle head.
The eagle head had fallen off, and I put it back on and then learned to play. Mm-hmm.
Well, you gave us a little bit of a sense of how sound and silence integrate. Can you speak a little bit more about how sound healing works in the system? Well, maybe some about what resonance is?
What I call my work is resonance silence technique, or RST, which for me is, I picked that name because my sense is that in silence people get a profound rest, RST. Hmm. Also, the silence that comes off of these instruments, I play instruments so that the sound sort of bleeds into a silence. And there's a silence that arises after the instruments. And in that space of silence, there's wondrous healing properties. So I play a variety of usually indigenous instruments, instruments that don't remind you of, oh, I can recognize that tune, or I can link into that. I'll play phrases so the mind can just float and then wink out for just a second. And in that second, everything begins to reintegrate. And we know from neuroscience that the mind, the brain, can reprogram itself, rewire itself. And I've done studies with quality of life studies with folks with dementia, and I find that over time with this work, people, the changes that happen, the positive changes, can be lasting, long-lasting.
Tell us a little bit more about some of the people that you're working with, folks that are struggling with dementia. It sounds like Alzheimer's and Huntington's also. These folks find some integration and improved sort of quality of life through some of this resonant silence technique.
Sure. As I said, I play a variety of instruments, the bowed psaltery and the native flute, bamboo flute, the silver flute, transverse, and the guitar, with a variety of singing bowls and chimes, one of the ones you heard in the very beginning. And with those sounds, we create a shared sense of silence or resonant silence. Silence, people think of silence as, well, there's nothing there. My sense of that is that it's not nothing there. There's a great support of silence. There's a sense of presence in the silence. And when people share it together, it resonates. You know, when you're in a concert and you're hearing the same sounds, everyone, there's a buzz, there's a connection. That connection is also can be felt in silence. So I play a variety of instruments. And I might play a song to get people connected to a song at first. And usually they don't connect at all in the beginning. But at the end of the therapy session, we'll repeat that song. And then people begin to sing with me. Mm-hmm. People begin to clap. Because then they're engaged. They've been able to reintegrate and come back to the present and shake my hand, speak for the first time maybe in years. They also begin to get their will back. They begin to stand and want to move around the room. It's quite extraordinary.
It sounds like you're able to draw people back to the present more fully.
Right, and it's not so much the facilitator, even though that's an important part of it. Each person comes through that silent portal in their own way, and can make the strides that they are able to in the moment. So it's a combination of the silence that's created and the facilitator who, it's a synergy that goes on.
That makes great sense. We heard a little bit from Simi about the body, the mind, and the spirit, and how those were connected. And I'm hearing some aspects of similarity.
Oh, yes.
You two are doing very different types of work for sort of to support the same goal and safety of space.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a little bit about your understanding of spirit in this mix?
Well, for me, it's all spirit. It's I always pray before a session that to ask God to guide my hands, to guide my intention, and to guide my actions. My sense is that the silence uncovers the presence of God that's always with us. We tend to cover it over with all of our sounds that we make, you know, human sounds. But that silence is always the ground of underneath everything there is. So that once a person can touch that and be aware of that supportive, nurturing silence, they come alive again.
Thank you, Ira. It sounds like you will be bringing a number of these instruments with you on Saturday the 24th to the Wellness Fair. If folks are interested in learning more about what you do or getting in contact with you, do you have a good way for them to reach you?
Sure, I can. I'll be bringing all the instruments and demonstrating them at different times throughout the fair. I'll bring cards with me with my email and my phone number. Mm-hmm. My email address is F-E-I-N, F as in freedom, E-I-N, at cnet.com, which is S as in Sam, S-E-A-N-E-T.com. And my phone number is 360-826-4840. I run a resonant silence technique or workshops occasionally, and so people can join in with that. And I'm also teaching the technique to students who want to learn the whole protocol so they can take this work into their work in the world.
Wonderful. Yeah. Ira, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you.
It's been a blessing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us this evening on Speak Up, Speak Out Radio. I'm Jody Buller. Enjoy your evening.
Join us each week for Speak Up, Speak Out. Archives are at speakupspeakoutradio.org. Theme music courtesy of Kurt Crandall. Until next time, seek peace, work for justice, celebrate diversity, and support your neighbors.
This program was produced in the studios of KSVR-FM by the Speak Up, Speak Out Collective. Distribution was made possible in part by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.